Now open with me in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, I'm reading the first 6 verses. Yeah, the context has been read to us. Let me just read the first 6 verses. Ezekiel 1, chapter 1, 1 through 6 says, in the 30th year, in the fourth month of the fifth day of the month, as I was among the exiles by the Chebar Canal, the heavens were opened, and I was among the exiles, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, it was the fifth year of the exile of King Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzai, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the Chebar Canal, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. For, as I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it, and fire flashing forth continually, and in the midst of the fire, as it were gleaming metal. And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had a human face. Let's pray together. Lord, we are here again before you, ready to be fed by you through your word. I need your help, O Lord. Use me this morning. Help me to, as I try to explain the unexplained or unexplainable. So Lord, be with me, and I need your grace now, please, Lord. If you leave me alone even for a second, I don't know what I'm going to do with this text. I need your help, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The foundation of divine calling is the vision of God's glory that came to you in form of judgment. I repeat, the foundation of divine calling is the vision of God's glory that came to you in form of judgment. Thus goes the title of our messages this morning, as we focus our attention to the doctrine of the awesome glory of God. As I told you again last Sunday, that everything about God is very difficult to explain. But there are some truths about God that are again more difficult. And this is one of them again. What's the glory of God? After looking at the power of God last Sunday, and I could not explain it better because it's just too big, too much for me. And again here, I'm just facing one of the toughest passages of Scripture. Trying to explain to you the unexplainable. The glory of God refers to what He is. All of His attributes is greatness. As we go through our series entitled knowing the living God, we've already looked at the spirituality of God, the fact that God has no body part. He cannot be seen. But now, because he wanted to commune with his people, that's the way he has been trying to reveal something about himself. You cannot see him the way he is because he's spirit. But he wants you to have a glimpse of something about him. Hence, he tries to at least bring something to your sight, so that at least you try to have an idea of who this God you are serving is. And whatever you see that is linked with God, that's what is called the glory of God. And whatever, I mean whatever, that he wants to use that has some connection with him, that's the glory of God. It's just, you know, it is, I can say it's the wow part of it about God. Yes. When someone sees something strange, something amazing, something extremely beautiful, you normally hear a human being say, wow! Yeah, so we are looking at the wow about God this morning. The glory of God is revealed not only in his power, but also in his presence. As Leviticus 9:22 through 24 says, it is God's manifestation, I've already told you that. 2 Chronicles 7:1. Deuteronomy 5:24. It's anything that you can see about God. And John Piper defines this way God's glory. And he says, quote, "The glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections." The infinite beauty. And I'm focusing on the manifestation of his character. And his word, his word and his attributes. All of his perfections. And greatness. And beautiful as they are seen. And there are many of them. That's why I use the word manifold, end of quotes. Ligonia.org writes this about God's glory. Quote, "When we think of the glory of the Lord, the image of brilliant light often comes to our minds." That is certainly appropriate. As the scripture often describes the glory of God in terms of a light that we experience on earth. And another writer, Dugwit, says, God's glory is the visible manifestation of his presence among his people. And Isaiah 43:7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Already, Isaiah is informing us that we are created for God's glory.
So
if you fail to give Him glory in your life, you are failing the mission, the reason why you live. He did not bring you here below to study or to marry and have children and do business and be wealthy and be known all over the world by everyone. He created you for His glory. How are you giving it to Him? Our first point says, the setting of God's revelation. Where did it find you? The setting of God's revelation, where did it find you? Throughout Scripture, God's servants were confronted with a revelation of His awesome glory. That made an imprint on their ministry. Whenever they became discouraged, they would recall the revelation of God's glory. And this would encourage them as they continue serving this great King. By the way, many, if not all, many in the Bible, in their calling, God first revealed His glory to them. Ezekiel is here. Remember Elijah. Remember Isaiah. Come to the New Testament. Remember Saul of Tarsus. And that's why I want you to reflect. Go back into your life. You say you are a born-again Christian. How did you see the glory of God when He called you to Himself? Because He always does that. We'll come to that. According to 2 Kings 24:14, in the year 597 BC, King Jehoiachin of Jerusalem, of Judah, Ezekiel and 10,000 others had been deported to Babylon. And this was because of sin of Israel against their God. Sin has consequences, and spiritual apostasy requires God's judgment. Remember, Israel was the only people of God on earth. They knew it very well. That this God, this mighty God, was theirs alone. And some of them had become proud. He is our God. And they started living anyhow. And God empowered their enemy and came and took them into captivity. So this manifestation of the Lord's glory happened to Ezekiel, the prophet of judgment, as he's known. Yes, but the whole of his book is about judgment. And the Lord appeared to come and judge His people. So they had been in captivity for many years. God was silent. And they thought that God had forgotten all about them. So now this manifestation of God's, of the Lord's glory, formed the backdrop for the announcements of judgment that Ezekiel would make. So we find that this found him somewhere. And that was in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month. In our language, you can say on the 5th of April. In the 30th year. And many preachers believe that this was the year of the prophet himself. It was 30 years when the Lord appeared to him. Because God wanted to ordain him as priest. And yet, no one could be ordained into priesthood unless they reach or they clock 30 years of age. And this guy was in Babylon, at a canal called Chebar. I don't know what he was doing there, but he was there. And he says himself, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. It was not one vision. There were many visions of God. The heavens were opened. In the Old Testament, the floodgates of heaven were opened to permit the sending down of either blessing, 2 Kings 7:2, Malachi 3:10, or judgment. If the floodgates of heaven open, God did that for one of these two reasons: either to pour up his blessings upon his people or his judgment. And so he says that there he saw the visions of God. Not visions of angels, but of God. On the fifth day of the month, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzai, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the Chebar Canal, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. The hand of the Lord upon a person was actually a statement which speaks of the special influence and power that the Spirit of God had on that particular person. Thus, they became the channel for the communication of divine truth. And this phrase is so important that the hand of God was upon someone was so important that it appears in six other verses in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 3:14, 3:22, 8:1, 33:22, 37:1, and 41, chapter 40, verse 1. Yeah, those who are taking notes, you have an upper hand because you'll get back home and go through all this to understand better what I'm telling you. A writer called Merrill says that these three elements, vision, word, and power or hand, appear in Ezekiel's descriptions of his call and of Yahweh's self-revelation. Yeah, because he says he saw visions of God, through the word of the Lord, because the hand of the Lord was upon him. Don't forget these three words: vision, word, and power or hand of God. Yeah, so this mighty vision, we are not yet in the vision, we are still in the introduction. But it happened, it occurred to him when he was at that canal. I don't know what he was doing there. Chebab. Where did it find you? No. You. Yeah, because I said this. That whenever calls someone to himself, he begins by revealing his glory to that person, and he revealed that glory in the form of judgment. It happened to all of us. I was standing in front of a girlfriend that I was seducing at a gospel crusade. And through the preached word of God, inside myself, I saw the glory of God. And I felt that what I was doing then was not good. And I started shaking. And tears started flowing from my eyes. I was not the same person again. And last Sunday, I heard from the testimony from my brother Caleb. He saw the glory of Jesus in his way. And do you know how he acted? Those who are here. He said, no, I cannot continue using these names anymore. And these documents anymore. God does not call you unless he first reveals his glory in one way or the other to you. So when he shows you his glory, the glory of God does one thing: to bring your sins on the table so that you can tremble and repent of them. Point number two. The nature of God's revelation. How did it happen to you? I've asked you the first question. Where did it find you? If it has already happened to you in your life, where did it find you? At school, in Scripture Union? And now we are looking at the nature. Now, how did it happen to you? Let's first see how it happened to Ezekiel. First of all, I want you to have this at the back of your mind. That in the Bible, you find an image of this mighty God, riding a chariot. Like in Psalm 104 and verse 3. It says, he makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. That's how God moves wherever he wants to move. He rides a chariot in the winds. I have a reason why I'm reading this for you, because you'll see something down there as we start looking at this. Okay, Psalm 18:10 says, he rode upon a cherub, talking about God, and flew. In other words, he climbed on top of a cherub and flew. This is our great God. He came swiftly on the wings of the wind. Okay, now after that, let's go now to the to the visions themselves. From verse 4 to verse 14, we have images of power first. And the first one is a storm wind. When you read your Bible well, you realize that whenever God appeared to people in the Bible, it came in form of a storm wind. Remember our sermon last Sunday? When he was ready to come and address Job. Job saw a whirlwind, very strong wind. So now we have started now, describing the manifestations of our great God. And all of them, Brother Piper says, there are many of them that show us a glimpse of our great God. And in them you see two things: extreme beauty and extreme fear. Yes, whatever you see about our God will produce in you extreme beauty and extreme fear. Yes, many prophets, remember Elijah, he saw this mighty wind. Also at Chebar Canal, Ezekiel sees at first the storm wind. He says, as I looked, behold, a stormy wind came out of the north. Images of power. Something threatening. Wind stronger than the tornadoes. Number two, the second image of power. Great cloud or immense cloud. And do you remember how God was used to guide his people from Egypt to the promised land, guiding them in a cloud, in the form of a cloud? So now he sees, okay, this wind comes, and it's chasing, it's pushing, moving some immense cloud. So he did not see only the images of power, he saw also images of light. First one, he saw brilliant light. Last Sunday, as we were studying on the power of God, I told you that this sun, according to scientists, I'm not a scientist, but the energy that it sends on earth per second is stronger than all the energy that human beings have produced from Adam to now. And I told you again that this is the least, the smallest of the stars. So now, if this smallest star can produce such energy, what about the biggest star? And I told you that these biggest stars, red supergiants, they are very many. Now the scientists have only managed to get 100 billion of them. Now, and yet I concluded last Sunday by telling you that Jesus Christ shines brighter than all those stars put together. Now try to imagine what Ezekiel saw on this day. He saw a brilliant light. Our languages do not have enough vocabulary to describe whatever Ezekiel saw. Even brilliant or bright, it's nothing. Then number two, he saw fire flashing forth. You cannot fail to see fire when God, you are seeing some manifestations of God. Fire will never means. Why they call him burning fire. Yeah, so he says, still in verse 4, stormy wind came from out of the north, and a great cloud with brightness around it. And fire flashing forth continually. You see, and again last Sunday I left it out. I wanted to explain to you the wonders of lightnings. It would help us maybe to in this message today. But that's what he was saying, something like that. Terrible lightnings, fire coming out of that cloud. And in the midst of the fire, as it were gleaming metal. Yes, it was like in the midst of the cloud, as if there's a metal shining with fire. And the wind, cloud, and fire in verse 4 are all symbols of God's glory. If you read Psalm 18, 8 through 13, Hebrews chapter 3, Jeremiah 4, 11 through 13, all of them are symbols of God's glory. And fire is a frequent symbol of God's holiness. Purity and awesomeness in Scripture. Exodus 3. I have many scriptures. I can't read all of them for you. But Exodus 3, chapter 2 and 3. Exodus 3, Exodus 13, 21. 19, 18. So all this will show you that fire is a symbol of God's holiness, purity. Storm clouds are frequently used in Scripture to depict the Lord's coming in wrath. Psalm 29, 3 through 9. Psalm 104, verse 3. Isaiah 29, verse 6. So God was furious. By the way, Ezekiel was amazed. Because they thought that their God had abandoned them. They could not believe that their God could appear outside the boundaries of Palestine. But now, he has appeared to him in the Chaldeans' land to prove to them that he's omnipresent. He's a sovereign, he rules over everything. And he can go wherever he wants, at any time he wants. This was also a sign that, although you've sinned against me, I've not forgotten my promises to your forefathers. I'm coming to judge you so that you repent and we continue. The second coming of Christ is also depicted using the same imagery of storm and fire. Matthew 24:30. Matthew 26:64. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. So now, in verses 5 through 11, here we have the appearance of the four living being described. But I was talking to my wife, yesterday as we were driving back home. Because, you know, we are living in a dictatorial land, so, you know, if someone is a military here, they are like a president. I don't know, the country is there, so they want to throw us there, even in the ditch, so that they can pass where they're not supposed to pass. Their lane is under traffic jam, ours is moving. But they want just us to go into the ditch if we are to fall there so that they pass. And they're just, Puri, I'm showing you the hand. Go there. It's threatening you. And what I told my wife is like, and you know, you have just to go on the side. When you look at their face, it is scaring. But have you ever looked at the face of the SFCs, those who protect the president? I don't know. Do they only look for people who have scaring faces? I mean, black in color? Yeah, those are the bodyguards of our president, the motto president, powerless president. Now, here we want to look at these four bodyguards of the holy throne of the awesome, glorious God. So that if when you look at one SFC, you fear immediately. Now, let us try to examine these who are just there all ever at the throne of our King. So now the description goes like this. In verse 5 and 6, we see their general appearance, human form. Verse 5 says, and from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had a human likeness. In verse 6 tells us that they have four faces and four wings. Try to imagine such a creature. And these four faces, in the front here it's a human face. On the left here is the face of a lion. On the left, the face of an ox or a bull. And behind, a face of an eagle on the same head. So now, when we go to verse 7, we learn about their legs and feet. It says, their legs were straight, without joints, like your knees have joints your legs have joints at the knees. Theirs have no joint, they are straight. And the soles of their feet were like the sole of a calf's foot. So their legs just look like ours, up to down somewhere down there. But the foot is not ours. It's like that of the cows. Such a creature. Let's continue describing them. Remember, they are there holding the glory of God. They are not messengers like Gabriel. They never leave the throne. Verses 12 and 13, sorry, verses 8b to 11. Let's begin from 8a. 8 says, under their wings, on their four sides, they had human hands. Human hands under their wings. And the four had their faces and their wings thus. Their wings touch one another. Another symbol of unity. The oneness that their God, the one they are carrying His glory, is a one God, is one God. Each one of them went straight forward without turning as they went. In other words, they never have an RV, a reverse gear. It's there. They always go forward. Unlike you, who goes forward and backward all the time in your Christian life, you go forward and backward. Today you look like a Christian, tomorrow you don't look like a Christian. Verse 10. And for the likeness of their faces. Okay, that one I've explained. Let's jump that. Verse 12. And each went straight forward. And wherever the Spirit would go, they went. So, do you learn that they don't have their own energy? There's the Spirit energizing them. And wherever the Spirit would go, they would go. Without turning as they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, listen to this. Their appearance was like burning coals of fire. So now, the way they were with all their four faces, but Ezekiel was seeing like four coals of fire. Like the appearance of torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. And the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. Yeah, so you see the movement now when you go to verses 13 and 14. We have the images picturing their movement now. Yes, they always went forward and went where the Spirit went. They were like looked like torches, like bolts of lightning. Verses 15 through 21, we have description of the wheels and their movement highlights God's sovereign power and activity. Now, there is an idea of a wheel or wheels. When you hear of wheel, the idea of a chariot comes into your mind, the chariot that Sam talks about. Wheel. What's a wheel? W-H-E-E-L. It's like it's something that rotates. I don't know. Is it in Kurung? You can read in the Luganda Bible. Let's go to verse 15 together. Now I looked at the living creatures. I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures. That's the word now. One for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels, 16, and their construction, the appearance was like the gleaming of beryl. And the four had the same likeness. Their appearance and construction being as it were a wheel within a wheel. When they went in any of their four directions without turning as they went. And their rims were tall and awesome. And the rims of all four were full of eyes all around. Yeah, the rim is full of eyes everywhere. Standing there for the omniscience of God. Yeah, those eyes there stand there to represent the omniscience of God. He knows everything. He sees everywhere. Let me follow my notes because here this can take much time. So now, total and restricted freedom of movement seem, because you see, you can see that these creatures have total and unrestricted freedom of movement. And this seems to be the primary function of these wheels. The glorious Lord is free to move into your heart if he wills. He does not need your permission, as they've been telling you. These wheels sparkled fire. They were high and awesome. And they were full of eyes. The four living beings had their movement through these wheels. Both their wings and legs were not their primary means of movement. They have legs, they have wings, but these were not their primary means of movement. The wings made a frighteningly powerful noise. If they wanted to move using them. And sometimes without trying to move, just they wanted to just do them like this without going anywhere. And when they beat them like this, Ezekiel says that they made a frighteningly powerful noise, comparable to a mighty waterfall or a battlefield or the voice of God himself. That's verse 24, which says this. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings, like the sound of many waters, like the sound of the Almighty, a sound of tumult, like the sound of an army. And remember what scared the children of Israel the most at Mount Sinai? The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. And they said, Moses, we can't continue hearing God speak because we will die. We will die. And God tells Moses, they are right. If they heard my voice and didn't die, it's because I allow them to hear it. But no one can hear my voice and remain living. When they beat their wings like this, a terrible noise, sound. Let's end with the results of God's revelation. What happened to you? Again, because of time, I always tell you that time is my biggest enemy in my preaching ministry. Time. I wish you could allow me to be speaking only for 5 hours. Only. And these are marvelous things. I want that we keep jumping when you look at the clock. Okay, this God revealed his awesome glory to Ezekiel at Chebar Canal. Where did he reveal it to you, if he has already? Two, how did he reveal it to Ezekiel? I've shown you. And Ezekiel is saying, this is awesome. Breathtaking. How did yours happen? I hear some talk of trembling as well. Not, you don't need to see vision like Ezekiel like this. No. These days, he uses his written words. When it is spoken, it comes with power. And people shake, people tremble, people cry. You've never shed a tear. I want to ask myself, how did you get saved? How? You only shed tears when your beloved ones die. When they deny you visa to the U.S. your heaven on earth. People do cry. But I've seen people bigger than I am, older than I am, shed tears because they've seen the glory of Christ through his written word. And he says, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Everything that I see as profit to me here, I find as vain, feces, rubbish. If he has already revealed his glory to you, how did it happen? You cannot be called his without seeing his glory first. He begins there. And he brings it in the form of judgment. By the way, this is not only for true born-again believers. No. He shows his glory to any human being. Then rebels, they decide to rebel against it. And these children tremble and surrender to him. The result of God's revelation. What happened to you? I've seen people who fail to walk. Why don't you read books about church history? And see how you are playing around with God these days. You call yourself born again? Have you seen Jesus Christ in his glory? Have you? If yes, why are you living the way you live? Then you did not see Christ, you saw a demon. In verse 22 through 28, the focus of the vision goes to the throne itself. The glorious throne. Verses 22 through 25, let's just read through and see. 22, over the heads of the living creatures, there was the likeness of an expanse. Friends, we've already heard about or learnt about these amazing four living creatures. That if any entered one of these doors into this church, not only you, even the preacher, I want to be here, I'll take away, I'll run for my life. But they have a word on their title that is interesting to me. There are four living creatures. They remain creatures. So they are here. They form a square, sort of. Because one leaves that corner into that corner, the other, just they keep rotating like that, protecting the Holy Throne. And now, on top of their heads, there is an expanse shining like awe-inspiring crystal. Just read verse 22 there. That expanse, that the space there on top of their head was shining like awe-inspiring crystal. Spread out above their heads, not on the same level with them, above them. Our God, who's lifted higher above every creature, every name, every God. Verse 23, and under the expanse, their wings were stretched out straight. One toward another. And each creature had two wings covering its body. They are in the presence of the mighty God. You can't dare be there naked. Two wings, they cover themselves. But you walk naked before God. Spiritually, you are naked. And they ask you, "Where are you coming from?" "I'm coming from worship service at RBC, in the presence of the living God." 24. And when they went, I heard the sound of their wings like the sound of many waters. The sound like that of God himself. 25. And there came a voice from above the expanse over their heads. When they stood still, they let down their wings. When that voice came from that expanse on top of their heads, they had all to stand still and put their wings down. But for you, God speaks to you every Sunday, every day. And you continue flying. You need to fear yourself. Will you be with us in glory? Verse 26. And above the expanse over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of a throne was a likeness with a human appearance. Here, Jesus was not yet born by Mary. It's far before Jesus Christ came to earth. But still, the king looked like he had an appearance of a human being. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were gleaming metal. Yeah, so the king sits there on that throne. Last Sunday I told you that the one who talked with Job was Jesus. Maybe some of you said, but Jesus was not yet born there. Then. Jesus was not yet born then. Here he is. God is spirit. He has no form of anything. Only the Son put on flesh and wanted to look like human beings. And he had this appearance. He wanted to reveal to Ezekiel that that appearance was his even before his incarnation. He was seated there. And these fires are just burning below him, rotating from here and there. When he heard that voice from the throne, they stood still. But you still talk. You hear God talk to you, you still talk. Now, as I end, friends, I've never comprehended it. I don't know whether it goes into your mind the way it goes into mine. These awesome creatures, living creatures, none of them has ever ascended to that level of that throne, not even for a second in all eternity past. And none will ever do that for the all eternity future. They'll just be there at that level. Listen to these words. They make people tremble. John 17:24. And if you want to tremble with this, then you will never tremble. John 17:24. The mighty high priestly prayer. And Jesus says this: Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to behold my glory that you have given me before, because you loved me. Have you understood this prayer here? If you don't understand the glory of Christ or glory of God, you cannot understand the magnitude of this prayer here. You who sit there in that chair, and you're one of those children of Christ, one day you'll be on top of those four living creatures and sit with Christ where he is. Because he has already asked that from the Father. And he cannot ask for anything and the Father denies it. Now, what glory will you be in? And what things are you joking with in this life? What things, which glory is that, friends? I believe even these four living creatures will also join other angelical beings one day, when we'll be going in the chariot of the wind to meet the King in glory. They will also join other angelical beings and ask, and who are these lords? They will join other angelical beings to ask the question, and who are these lords? Because of the glory that you'll be covered with. The glory of Christ. Friends, if this cannot make you tremble, then heaven is not your place. Abandon those businesses that give you money, but put the glory of God of Christ down. Leave them. Be poor. You cannot dare miss this. Please, your businesses, put Christ's glory down every day. And you don't want to leave them because they give you a lot of money. You know it yourself. But what can you compare with this? The wealth here below? Didn't I tell you that I told lies in this country? Because I wanted to go to America. It was my dream place. It was my dream place. I gave bribe. I told lies because I wanted to go to America with my family. I look for opportunities to go for pastors' conferences, and then after the conference, I disappear. But when the Lord revealed His glory to me, now friends were asking if I could go after chasing their pastor to me to go and be a pastor of the church. I can't live in the U.S. That's what Christ does when you see His glory. He wants me in Uganda. He wants me in Uganda. He wants me here. The glory of the living God. And the passage brother read for us from Revelation 21, that in that city there will be no sun, no moon, because the Lamb Himself gives it light. You want to miss that? Give your life to the Lord. Ask Him to forgive you. If you need more help, you can call Pastor David anytime. You can call me anytime. Even other brethren who are mature in the Lord, there are many here. They can help you, not only the elders. Ask them those questions. What should I do? Amen. We thank you, Lord, for this word. It's just amazing. We cannot understand these words, Lord. What you are preparing for us in the other life is amazing. It's just beyond our understanding. We sinful creatures to sit on the same table with such a God like you, the awesome, glorious God. Have mercy on us, Lord. We see the response of Ezekiel at the end of chapter 28. After seeing everything he saw about you, he fell down on his face. He fell down. And that's what we see, oh Lord, with everyone who comes in contact with you. They fall down and lose consciousness. Have mercy on us, Lord, that we'll also fall prostrate before your glory and repent of our sins. Thank you for having loved us with such a love that we will never comprehend, even in heaven forever. We will never understand the love of God to mankind. Thank you. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the precious blood. May you save my brother here this morning. May you save this sister who is not yet part of your fold. Save them, O Lord. And the rest of us also, we need your salvation still. Save us daily by sanctifying us through your word, by conforming us to the likeness of this great King, King of glory. And it is through the name of this King of glory, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.